due to a tape malfunction, Keith, and Matt's introduction to this episode was lost. Let us proceed directly to Matt's first musical selection, Sanctus Diavolos, by black metal band Rotting Christ.
Here reigns thy mighty crown of hope. That was some black fucking metal, my friend.
It was. It wasn't particularly fast, but, you know, that's what you like about black metal. There's a story there, and it's usually a story about something evil.
I like that you were saying, as you were here, I should mention that we're Canadian boys, of course, so you were visiting from Canada, you were in Toronto, and then you bust to New York. And what'd you say, it's 12 hours?
Yeah.
Wow, I bet that was lots of fun.
No, not so much, but I kept falling asleep and waking up, and I left my headphones on, and I'd wake up, and I would just wake up just in love with whatever song was playing at the time. It really didn't matter what it was, and I woke up about 10 seconds before, like, the bitchin' guitar solo and that, and I was just like, yes, yes, in 10 seconds I'm going to be so happy.
You know what I was thinking about that? Is that it is undeniable that that is quite badass. But it really did, in a way, bring me back to, like, when I was in 7th grade and, like, my first band that I really loved, like, Guns N' Roses. You know, it's not so different from, like, when Slash would just fucking bust one out. So, yeah, we were using the power of the internet to look up... This is awkward here. I got all this shit on the table. Sanctos Diabolos. And the definition of Sanctos Diabolos is that it is the 8th full-length album by Greek black metal band Rotting Christ. So then we realized it's, rather than Greek, it's probably Latin. So we figured out that Sanctus means holy, and Diabolos means Diabolos. So Lord only knows. Badass, though, is really all you need to know. So yeah, today is an extremely hot day. So we just decided to stay inside. It's oppressively hot, I'd say.
Yeah.
The little bit we were at. So we're just inside with some booze, some good friends, some good music. And such.
Sounds like a fucking commercial for TGI Fridays.
And I'll drink to that. What was I going to say? Something. Well, what we've done so far in New York. See, last time we were in New York was 2 years ago for Keith Malley's thing on April 15th. And we spent most of the time sitting around our hotel room watching TV.
Which was fine.
It was.
We went to see Slither. It was fantastic.
I was just thinking about that the other day, man. That's a good movie. Yeah. It really is. That's fucking solid. We watched some First Blood in the hotel. So this time around, we're making a little more effort to do stuff. Well, that first day, we were going to go to the museum, the Met, or the Museum of Modern Art. No, I mean... Natural History Museum, but they were both closed, so we didn't get there in time, because we live way far out, or I live way in Queens. So we went to see Speed Racer on IMAX.
Which was fucking awesome.
It was. It was so cool. I mean, it's just another one of those movies that I guess, you know, kind of didn't get any respect, but maybe they didn't see it on IMAX.
Yeah, it was like, it reminded me a lot of that fucking weird-ass Dick Tracy movie, which I absolutely loved, but apparently everyone else hated.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
It's like when you stylize something so far beyond normal accepted standards, it's just so neat.
Yeah, it really is. And that was the biggest screen I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like, I think the only IMAX I've ever been to before are, like, stupid educational ones. Except we went to see Harry Potter out in Vancouver. The 5th one.
Yeah.
Which was my favorite. That was a good one. But it wasn't that big. It's pretty big, but...
It was big, but...
Well, like, I think that the best review we could give was that ticket prices were supposed to be $8.50 for a normal movie. Ours were $16. And I felt like
hard.
I got like $16 worth. If anything, I got a little too much. The movie was a little long.
I would have thrown down a flat 20 for that.
Yeah, for sure. Good times. So then the next day, we finally did go to the museum. Got both of them in one day. Pretty exciting day. Although, since we live so far away, that really was the whole day.
Yep.
So today is jack and shit. This is just do nothing day. It's fine with me.
But it is dangerously hot, so fuck that shit.
Exactly. Now, I'm going to swerve us quite a bit from the style of that last song, and I'm going to play The Cure. You remember I was saying the morning you arrived in town, it was somewhat unfortunate that after your 12-hour ride, you then had to wait in Manhattan for, like, a couple hours before I could get there.
They're sweet, though, because I just pulled my bag against the side of a wall and just sat on the edge of the street and smoked and just... And this is what it's like to be a rugged homeless guy in New York.
And when I finally did get to you, you're like, you know, I'm on quite a few muscle relaxers. May not be as witty as usual right away.
So it was fine. I was half-wasted on prescription drugs.
But yeah, oh man, I just see, like, last time I did the ride from here to Fredericton, which was I don't know how long, I didn't have anything, and it sucked. It was horrible.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
I think I might, if I take the bus home. That's one thing I was wondering, how does customs work at an airport? Do you go through on the Canadian end, or this
you
end?
You go through here.
Okay.
Before they let you on the plane.
All right, that's cool. Because I'm just wondering, I'm going to have some, you know, I'm going to have to deal with customs more than usual because of my visa and all that.
Yeah, because I was thinking I don't have a passport, so I, you know, I couldn't fly in, but I could fly home, but it's just too expensive, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so that morning, though, it was just a good morning. Woke up in a strange girl's bed. Not so strange, necessarily, but, and I was like, hey, not only is this not my crappy house that I normally sleep on the couch, I'm in a nice bed with a nice lady, but my best friend is waiting downtown. That's not a bad time. And this is the song that just popped into my head that morning, was Close to Me by The Cure.
I'm not sure how I feel about that, actually.
Well, that was, I think, more for the lady.
Sure. Whatever you gotta tell yourself.
I jumped on her computer and played it, because I love that you can just go on YouTube and just play whatever you want while I watch her get dressed. It's like a little show. It was great. That was just a good day. And, but I know most of my Cure through you. Because, I mean, everyone obviously is aware of The Cure, but the only album I heard a lot of was Disintegration, because we had it at the old comic shop I worked at. It was laying around. So, let's test your Cure knowledge. What album is this from?
I want to say Head on the Door.
See, I don't even know. It was a single, I assume.
Yep.
Cause, yeah.
And it's actually, there's, I think, about three different versions of it. Because I think in the version you have, which is good, there's a lot more trumpet action.
Yeah.
Which was basically just non-existent in one of the versions.
And I remember, because really, I remember you
in a way, it hurts the song.
Back in the day, you had a mix CD or something with the wrong version. I remember that.
And I was like, fuck!
It's weird, because I'm not usually a big fan of the horns, but you're totally right.
It really picks it up a lot.
Very important in this particular tune. So yeah, this is just a happy, good time, having a very nice morning fucking song. The Cure, Close to Me. through the magic of the internet, we just looked that up. Matthew was indeed correct about the album. And now they're not talking to it, though. I don't know. I can't figure out my mic placement. I feel like I'm like a producer, you know? You're setting up your mics around the drum kit and what have you. You're the drum kit.
Okay. Is that because I'm fat? Cock.
You're looking okay these days, I must say. I don't know. I'd say looking pretty healthy.
Yeah, as I fucking have.
How much do you weigh on the moon again? Like 10 pounds?
Yeah, something like that.
Although I weigh 4 pounds.
Which can't be right, because no. There's no way I weigh twice as much as you do.
No, at like my high water mark, I was like 155 pounds or something, but I got used to being that. So now every time I'm less, I feel so skeleton-y. Like, I was like 145, and then last time I checked, I'm like 140. It's like, what is happening?
Yeah, I think...
Granted, those are different scales, so yeah. I mean...
I've been locked at like 180 for... like a year now or something.
Yeah. If I could gain a little weight, it probably wouldn't hurt. But I don't want to just get, like, the belly that is traditional of people of my particular build. And, you know, I don't know that the muscles would really work out so well. Maybe. But, yeah, one thing I just kind of surprised me about The Cure is, like, that album is 1985. And that song of Forest that I really like, what the fuck is that? Like, 81 or something?
81 or 80, I think.
1980, but it just doesn't sound, even though it's got the drum sound is fairly 80s, but it doesn't strike me as 80s.
No.
There's something distinctly more timeless about The Cure than most bands of that era.
No, I concur.
They're really good. I like them. Although, weren't you saying that, like, one of your old jobs, you met somebody there who liked The Cure a lot, but it was, like...
Yeah, the
like
exact complete
bands.
Other spectrum of the songs I liked. It was like every song I didn't like, he loved, and every song I liked, he didn't like. And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it was weird.
He's a weird douchebag anyway.
All right, now, that was my Cure pick. So what do you got for us next?
Well, I guess we might as well do The Shins.
Mm-hmm.
The Shins came out with a new album fairly recently. And they're just a good, solid, fun, sit back and relax band, you know.
I was actually saying in one of my more recent shows, I never really got as into The Shins as I expected to.
Well, see, I think The Shins are, I want to compare them a lot to The Strokes, where they came out, they got big, and everyone just expected so much from them, and were unwilling to expect that maybe they're not the greatest band in the world, but perhaps they are just a good band, and that's completely fine. So I think that's kind of what happened, because the first Strokes album came out and everyone was like, oh, they're going to reinvent rock and roll and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, the next album's not so much, but they're still an all right band. And it's the same with The Shins, you know, sit back, have a listen. It's fine. But, you know, don't expect them to change your whole life because you're listening to a fucking song.
So this is from their new album then?
Yes, which I believe is called Wincing the Night Away. And the song is called Black Wave. The whole thing has kind of like a nautical theme running throughout it.
Now, if a giant squid were to fight a whale, who do you think would likely win?
Depends on the whale, honestly. I mean, some whales are fairly small. If it's a sperm whale, like we thought,
right?
Then I'm going to go with sperm whale.
Well, the thing is,
whale.
We learned about this at the Natural History Museum, is that they have found whales with beaks in their bellies and also burn marks on their face. But I'm just curious about how could the squid ultimately win?
I honestly don't think it can. I think they just maybe put up more of a fight than the whale was ready for at the time. It's like, oh, another giant squid, delicious. But this one just has a little more fight in it.
So belly of a whale is where you end up.
Yeah, exactly.
End of the day. All right, Black Wave by The Shins. Thank you.
Zeus's Curtly's tongues are tied around the block and airborne blind. But looking on the brighter side, there's far less to which I'll be obliged.
It'll change your life.
Exactly.
And the whole movie stops for a minute while you listen to the song.
That is a lot to fucking live up to.
Yeah, that is a fairly ringing endorsement right there.
And I mean, it's a good song. I love that song. But it's, you know, it's a song from a band that fucking Zach Braff happened to absolutely love.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of bands I absolutely love that I'm not going to go say. You know, go listen to Sanctus Diabolus. It'll change your life. Like, I just love this song. It's not for everyone, I know that.
Fairly short tune, so why don't you lay another one on us there, Mr. Jenkins?
Okay, well, since that was kind of, I want to say, puscular. Oh, well, go with the Baroness song. It's mostly instrumental. I think it's like a 5 or 6 minute song. There's like 30 seconds of singing through the whole thing. It's so fucking good, though. It doesn't even matter.
And it's called Wailing Wintry Wind?
Yeah. Just imagine, like, it's... You know, back in the seafaring days, and someone sends you on, you know, an expedition to the North Pole. Like, what kind of balls is that going to take? What kind of music, if it were able to be made at said time, would you listen to on the same voyage?
And
this is said song.
Weren't we just talking about this, like, yesterday at the museum, that like, especially seafaring, it's, like, the ballsiest time in all of human history.
Yeah.
Like, fuck outer space, fuck climbing mountains. Like, the sea, that is fucked. You're just in the middle of nowhere.
I'll make a shitty wooden boat, and good luck to you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I'd ever have the balls, ever. Just crazy.
And I was supposed to see this band in Toronto, but thanks to some failings on Google Maps, my failings, the cabbie's failings, I missed them. Whatever.
It is quite not nice also for a show to actually start at the listed time.
Yeah, exactly.
The shows never do. So, I mean, you're going to fuck people if you do that.
Douchebags.
So, I'm always interested, though, in how people learn about bands. So, how'd you hear about Baroness?
I think MySpace. I was just looking around, going through on the Mastodon. I was looking for, like, friends of Mastodon. And
now, was Mastodon because of... the Aqua Teen movie?
Oh, no, I actually listened to it.
Because
okay. If you look at the podcast we did in Vancouver, I was like, sweet, fucking Mastodon. And I played a Mastodon song in that podcast.
And that was before we saw that movie?
Well, it was during, but
no,
I had previously bought the album and been like, yes!
Nice.
I was extra excited when Linoleum Knife was by Mastodon.
I believe that was episode 12 for you historians out there, if you're interested. Yeah. Yeah, because like I was saying to you yesterday, I just find it weird, like, if I hadn't have accidentally heard of Saul Williams on college radio in 1997, it would have been, like, a full 10 years before I ever heard of him. until the Trent Reznor hookup, and it's just, it's like so many bands out there, it just kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, it's strange times. Although Mastodon's doing quite well for themselves, lots of big tours, MTV and whatnot. I'm happy for them. I'm glad.
Alright, so seafaring expedition time, hard fucking core.
Not so much, just really good. Progressive metal, they call it.
So it's like they were prepared for the journey, but it still ain't fucking easy.
Yeah, it's going to blow your mind, but you knew what was going to blow your mind.
Nice, nice. We'll be right back. nice tune. I particularly liked when it just, like, did kick in and then yeah. and stuff.
But, like, the whole start of it kind of sounds like... There's a few songs in that where they try and make their guitar sound like whale sounds.
Right.
It's just,
Yeah, that little airplane pass. Nice.
It really is just, The whole album is not so much about the guys singing, it's just that they're all extremely talented at their particular instruments, and it's just a solid,
there is definitely
good to listen to album.
A lot more in the metal world, technical proficiency.
Yeah.
Much more, even just that book I'm reading now, what the fuck is it called? The one about the Go Nowhere punk band, Amp, by John Resch. He was talking about at their practice space, they're just a shitty punk band, so, you know, they just... whatever little basic shit, and everybody else who had practice spaces near them, you just hear them all night practicing scales and doing solos and shit.
Yeah.
You know, and punk bands don't really care so much.
Yeah,
I'd say even like NoFX is unusual in the number of solos, especially in the older stuff.
Yeah,
that they would put in.
But no, the almost the metal guys tend to take it too far sometimes, but. There, if you listen to certain solos on bands, you understand that. Maybe if you don't like this song, you should at least respect that guy's love for his guitar. He was all over the place.
Now, what was I going to play next? All right, I'm going to play some Tiger Army.
Cool.
Now, I was just going through random torrents of shit, and I found a torrent of the 5 Give 'Em the Boot samplers. Which generally tend to be pretty good. There's some good shit on there. So this is from the 3rd Tiger Army album, but I first heard it on Give 'Em the Boot 4, I think, out in Vancouver. And I noticed this album, it was the first one that Nick 13, who's like the only original guy that's always, like, he's the, like, fucking Robert Smith. He's the guy. It's always just him. And then everyone else revolves. It's the first one, like, he produced by himself. And it doesn't sound, it didn't sound as good to me as the first two albums. Like, it's mixed weird. Like, the guitar seemed like it was buried too far in the back, and the bass was way too loud, and just little things. That,
which one, what's the name of this one?
Dead, something about ghosts? Something, Rye, something? I don't fucking remember. We're gonna look it up.
Alright.
But, I don't know, just like, I even just noticed this, like, I'll play it later, but I just found it the Horror Pops put on an album this year. And something about it, the mix of how the just, it makes, I don't know, it sounds like a little bit thin. You know, like, there's, like, energy lacking somehow. It's like, I don't know who produced that album, but Nick 13, you shouldn't produce your own Tiger Army. There's no need. I mean, it's
let
nice.
A professional do.
Exactly. It's nice that you're stretching and stuff. And maybe I'm just being nitpicky, I don't know. But there's definitely something, even, like, the new Smashing Pumpkins. And it's weird, because Billy Corgan is such a fucking perfectionist, and he played everything on the fucking album except the drums. But, like, the vocals are too loud, and it just throws everything off. Like,
well, yeah, it's the same thing. That Rotting Christ album, there's a lot of really good songs on there, but the vocals are mixed too weak. And you're like, if I could go remix this album, I'd be so much happier.
Yeah.
Because there's so many songs where I get so much potential, and it's just falling, and it's just stabbing you in the ear the whole time you're listening. It's like, so close, so close, you're just teasing me.
So this song is called Atomic, and it was like a bit of a slow burn. It wasn't even one of my favorite songs on that sampler, but it once it got in my bloodstream, it's not even my favorite Tiger Army song, but I just happened to run across this the other day, and I was just like, yeah, just remembering that time in fucking Vancouver when I had no money, and getting a sampler for $5 was like, nice, I'm gonna fucking listen to the shit out of this, exactly. So this is Atomic by Tiger Army.
Hold on.
Atomic.
So we just looked that up. It's called Ghost Tigers Rise, 2004. And we were discussing how it really is a solid album. No question. Maybe the best one.
Yeah. It was it's honestly my favorite Tiger album one, or Tiger Army album, just because I think the newest one is really geared towards the ladies. And the old ones were just really...
I guess with the old ones, like, I have a weird skewed view because I don't think I ever had them as albums. I just had a big mix,
yeah.
You know, and then you can just pare that down. So it seems like an extremely solid era of music, but...
Yeah, I just remember them lacking, and this album I felt that they really pulled their songs together and really just made a nice album. So there were a few songs that were kind of shady, but overall it was a really solid album.
And I totally remember, especially, I mean, Vancouver's full of hipsters and shit, but... in the little free music papers, like, definitely I remember criticism of, is it even Tiger Army anymore? It's only that one guy left? Well, he is the guy, you know? Like, get used to it, man.
Like,
there's
he's
tons
the singer,
of
he's the fucking lead guitar player, it's fine, don't worry about it.
That's like, just the other day I was looking at my self-indulgence stuff, and fucking Jimmy Urine, the main guy, like, he is the guy. You look at the list. Oh, it was the live DVD they put out, Our Pain, Your Gain, which was quite delightful. It was a live concert, but, at the end, you know, they're listing songwriting credits, and it's just him, 99%.
Well, it was the same thing. I remember being concerned because the new Necromantics album, the only guy left is Kim Necroman, and I was like, well, I don't know if I agree with this. It's the same band. I mean, that band is that guy.
Yeah. But yeah, that's just a nice little song. I like that one a lot. So, what would you like to play for us now, Matthew?
Well, what do we have? We're just going to go with totally puscular Nick Drake. And this was just on my girlfriend's, like, MP3 player. And I can't remember the name of the guy. It's, like, someone in the Bastards. And it's not Lars or whoever. But, and he was just the most misogynistic, evil, just like, I hate women so much. And I thought this was him, but it wasn't him at all. And, it turned out to be the first song on the album is called Pink Moon, which was on a car commercial like a few years ago, and I really liked it. And it turns out this whole album is basically terrible. Only three good songs on it, but I just really love this song.
Well, I'll tell you what little I know of Nick Drake. I always meant to dive into him more because people constantly make references to him related to Elliot Smith because they both were somber gentlemen and... both killed themselves.
Huh, I didn't even notice that.
Yeah,
I didn't know about that.
So, the few Nick Drake things I've heard, I haven't heard much, but I just, nothing sunk its teeth into me yet. So,
like this, I listened to this album, and seriously, three good songs, and this happens to be my favorite of them.
I remember the biggest effort I made was, it was a very fizzled romance, but right after I broke up with Erica, there was this really hot Asian girl who was coming into the coffee shop, and we're chatting and shit, and sending emails. And I don't even think we ever went on, like, an actual date, but she was all like, you gotta hear Nick Drake. And then when that didn't go anywhere. I didn't bother looking up the trajectory. I guess I'm not really that interested anymore. So this is A Place to Be, or Place to Be, by Nick Drake. Track 2 on some unknown album.
When I was young, younger than before, I never saw the truth hanging from the door. Face to face, and I'm older. Gotta get up, clean the place. And I was green. Flowers grow and the sun shines still. Now I'm darker than the deepest sea. Just hand me down, give me a place to be.
It's nice and pleasant.
But of what little I know of Nick Drake, it does seem very Nick Drakey.
Yeah.
You know?
So it really is very low-key, very Cat Stevens-esque. Just kick back and have a little listen. That whole album, though, really is disappointing.
That's part of, I think, what lost me with him, too, is just that since every time I heard about him, it's just because I'm so obsessed with Elliott Smith and I keep hearing these, you know, correlations. And I like Elliott Smith, like, 150%, like so much that I'm like, who's this fucking guy?
Yeah.
You know, I just go listen to some more Elliott Smith.
But again, you fall into the Shins trap where, you know, if you stop comparing him to Elliott Smith,
yeah,
just
exactly.
Him.
And it's not Nick Drake's fault. Yeah. He died long before Elliott Smith even fucking got rolling. So it's very unfair, really. But again, he's fucking dead. He doesn't care if I listen to him. It is kind of too bad though that like. I don't know, there's just never time to get through everything, you know? We're gonna die with all these songs we wish we could have heard.
Yeah.
It's gonna suck, man. Dying.
You just gotta keep on trucking, man. Keep up the good fight.
But yeah, let's just say what we were saying during that song is how it can be actually hard to find new music sometimes just because it does take time to integrate stuff in. I find it takes me quite a long time.
Yeah.
So even people whose opinions I generally really trust, there's only so much that I can absorb, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And then you gotta wonder, like, these top 40 kids, as I like to call them, they just hear a song. And I mean, granted, every now and again I'll hear a song first time and I'll be like, bam, I love that song. But most of the time, it's a gradual thing. You really get to know them. You get to know the song. You get into it. You get every little thing and you're like, you got a buddy. Me and you, till the end of time.
I actually really wish, I mean, granted, I'm an enormous fan of my own podcast, but I wish more people had a podcast exactly like this. You know? I mean, like this exact format, and then, I don't know, because if you just make a mix and just play it, that doesn't work as well. It helps to have, like, that little reason to something connected to the song.
A little bit of critical assessment on right. each song as to why it is as bitchin' as it is.
And I remember there's this one podcast I listened to out in Vancouver. It's called Regresso Radio. And the guy did like 30 episodes and then he stopped because he got a job. But he's like a little older than me, probably like 4 or 5 years older. And from like California, the whole, that region. And knew, it was all that kind of like the Breeders sort of alternative late 80s, early 90s stuff. But all like just underground enough that I really didn't know like anything. I think the whole 30 episodes he might have played like 2 songs I actually already knew. And the weirdest thing about it is there wasn't a single song through that whole 30 episode run that I went and tracked down to download because I was like, I want to hear that again. But I still love listening to that show. Because yeah. I don't know how to explain it. Yeah, I really like that show. But yeah, it needs a... Yeah, things need context, I guess. That's what it comes down to. If it's just too much, then it's just... Even just like whole albums, you know? It's like... Probably that's too much for me. Anyway, let's jump up to the mainstream a little bit. But the underbelly of the mainstream. I'm going to play some Red Hot Chili Peppers. And this is from their 2003 album, By the Way, which I always considered kind of like the Lost Chili Peppers album, which is stupid to say, because every album they ever made sold 1 billion copies. Yes.
There's no such thing as a Lost Chili Peppers album.
But compared to...
If you ever walk up to someone and be like, I just heard of this new band, they're pretty awesome, Red Hot Chili Peppers. How do you feel about that?
But this is like fucking... Yeah, like, I don't know, there's shit like that 95 album they did with Dave Navarro. It still sold 1 billion copies, and people are like, but that wasn't the real Chili Peppers. But then Californication came out in 99. It was just like the bee's fucking knees. I think it actually sold more than Blood Sugar Sex Magik. It sold so many copies, like 10 million copies. Probably more, because that's an old statistic. Although I think Blood Sugar Sex Magik is my favorite, all in all. But, so then they put out this one, By the Way, in like 2003. And it just, you know, was not as amazing a thing. I mean, that had the whole... The Californication one was like John Frusciante's big comeback and, you know, the whole big thing. So this one kind of got lost a little. And one thing with this album is this is the last time I can clearly remember just going out and buying a CD without hesitation. Like, I went to King's Place, got it at the little fucking whatever that music store is in King's Place in Fredericton, and it didn't even occur to me to download it. I was like, Chili Peppers have always done well by me, I'll just go buy it. And that was like 2003, that's a little while ago.
Yeah. The times, they are changing.
So, I was gonna play track 3 off this album, is called This Is the Place, and it's kind of a cool little downbeat, unusual for the Chili Peppers song about one of their friends killing themselves or something. But upon a recent re-listening, I realized that the very last song on the album, Venice Queen, is actually insanely awesome. So, maybe you heard it, maybe you didn't. See, that's the thing, it's Chili Peppers, but there's a very good chance a lot of people don't even know this song. And I like it a lot. You know, I actually also was thinking of trying to make a little string for the end of, or for one of these shows, that the Chili Peppers almost always have a really strong last song on their albums. But it turned out, when I lined them all up, it's not really that. They're not strong enough to actually...
to do a whole show about it.
Exactly. But here we go. Venice Queen by RHCP, as I like to call
it. Oh, you're quite trendy.
Thank you.
Does it go from east to west, y'all? Body free and a body less, y'all. Come again just to start afresh and once again to find a home. In the moment of the meantime, dropping in, coming through the mess, y'all. Checking in just to get it blessed, y'all. Hard to leave when it's picturesque and find a form that's free to roam. Where you come from, where you going? Where you come from, where you going? Do it all and it all again, y'all. Make it up and you make a friend, y'all. Paddle on just around the bend and find a place where you can see all the mamas and the papas. Take a chance on a recommend, y'all. Hard as hell just to comprehend, y'all. Disbelief that I do suspend and easy now to find a breeze. Where you come from, where you going?
best I've ever. I know you said you don't believe in God, we used to disagree. Now that it's time for you to leave, G-L-O-R-I-A is love, my friend, my friend. Stylish mess of silver hair, the woman of your kind is rare. Your uniform returns to wear. G-L-O-R-I-A is love, my friend, my friend, my friend. And now it's time.
Yeah, nice little tune there. See, the end of Stadium Arcadium, there's some weird thing about being a Martian. Very nice song. Blood Sugar Sex Magic ends with Sir Psycho Sexy. Has a really awesome instrumental groove to finish things off. What's that other one called? One Hot Minute. It's got Transcending. Very weird. Very cool. You know, they got these solid closers. That's the sort of the thing they've been doing.
Yep. I kind of wish that there was always a... I remember we used... It wasn't a huge thing, but we always disagreed on the last song of Super Unknown.
Yeah.
Suicide.
Yeah, that might even be my least favorite on the album.
Yeah, you felt it was very much a downer to that otherwise insanely awesome album, and I fucking love that song.
Yeah, so, I mean, I can't argue. I mean, I don't think I'm wrong, but I don't think they're wrong for putting it on. I'm willing to go 50-50 on that.
Because I used to remember I would listen to that album in its entirety, and when Like Suicide came on, I was like, yes, it's time for this album to be done, and I'm fine with that.
She lived like a murderer, but she died.
So sweet, blur. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, so I guess he quit Audioslave.
Really?
Now, yeah, he's back to solo.
Nah.
Yeah. Really, yeah, that's the worst thing he ever did, is that solo album.
Yep.
Brutal. So, I don't know what the rest of the lads are doing, the Rage Boys. I gotta admit, like, I don't know, Audioslave started to grow on me, but it was only because I listened to the radio so much in Vancouver, and you just get familiar with the songs, and then I went and downloaded their second album, and since I already knew all the singles, it's like, yeah, you know, but it really, they weren't.
There were some gems in there, but really not enough to,
Yeah, their pedigree, they seemed like they should have been more going on there.
Mm.
So, what do you got for us now?
Well, I think right now, a band that has really caught my attention as of late is a little band from Montreal called Kill the Lights. And I had two different vacation schedules, and one would put me in Toronto when I was in Toronto to see Coheed and Cambria and Baroness, which unfortunately I missed Baroness, but Coheed and Cambria is still bitching. And the other one was to see North by Northwest, and I could have caught Kill the Lights. And they're just all around solid, and I really like them a lot. And they got a lot of jam feel to them, and just really good. So this song is The Arctic at Dawn, which is a little more of their, a little mellower for them, but just, I just fucking love this song. It's fantastic. A little bit of Canadian flavor. And I like it a lot.
There are a fucking shitload of good Canadian bands. Mm. It's quite ridiculous.
Yeah, considering, you know, the population. But
maybe since we have more artist grants or something.
Mm. And, you know, Canadian content, obviously, you're getting played.
About doing shows with somebody else is I do enjoy the volley of when, you know, somebody plays one type of song and then, you know, you can, I can gauge what song I'm going to play based on what they just played. Either it'll be similar or it'll be different. It's really the only two ways we can do it. But it's just kind of cool. It really does sort of shake things up a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play some Mind the Self-Indulgence. I've long been a fan of this band. It's weird, man. They've been around for so fucking long now. Like, it just seems weird because they seem so youthful and energetic, but they started in, like, 97. And the main guy, Jimmy Urin, he's, like, 38, which makes sense. He was, like, 28 when they started. Sure, that's not so weird, but now he's old. You know? He doesn't look it. Anyway, they just put out a new album called If. that I haven't totally dug my way all the way through yet. It's, see, they had their first album, Tight, was extremely awesome, and Tight, 10 songs, all good. Then they put out Frankenstein Girls Will Seem Strangely Sexy, that had like 30 songs, and the joke was they were all in alphabetical order, and they're like, you gotta like at least a few of them, there's 30 of them, you know? And some of them were really good, and some of them were really shitty. And then they went flip-flop back for You'll Rebel to Anything As Long As It's Not Challenging, only had 10 songs, all very good. This one's kind of in the middle. It's got like 15 songs. Maybe we didn't need to have 15 songs, you know? Some of them are a little, But who knows?
You use the technical term.
Exactly. But it seems like, I mean, they always had that video game vibe and like sort of chip tunes, you know, weird little noises and like the Nintendo sound chip or that kind of weird crap. But it feels like they got a little bit more of an 80s vibe going on in this album. In a good way. I mean, the 80s is really never a bad thing as far as pop music goes. And what I mean by the 80s vibe, it's mostly just a lot more na-na-nas and doo-doo-doos and that type of shit.
You don't have to think about it a lot. You just know you like it.
But those, yeah, those are just good. So this song is called Never Wanted to Dance. It's track number one, and it's one of those songs you can kind of, on a bad day, identify with a little bit too much in a not psychologically healthy way, because it's got just like these lyrics of like, be nice to me, you fucking bitch. You know? It's like, I'm a grown man, I shouldn't be identifying with this song. But it's a very, very catchy song by Mind and Self-Indulgence, who are playing at the end of the month. I could go get some fucking tickets. I always feel very strange in some ways seeing them, because everyone else is 15 years old. Not everyone, but, you know, but I don't fucking care. Fuck it, they're a good band.
Yeah, we have the advantage of being old yet looking young. So
yeah, and that's true. Upset. It is kind of handy.
There is nothing you can do that I have not already done to myself. There is nothing you can do that I have not already done to myself. There is nothing you can do that I have not already done to myself. No, there is nothing you can do that I have not already done to myself. Whoa. Never wanted to dance with nobody, not you. Take no for an answer, you fucking bitch. You fucking bitch.
We were just further discussing Jimmy Urine's oldness and how, you know, he seems like he should be so much younger just by his demeanor. And it's weird that he put out a solo album in 1995 before he started Mind the Self-Indulgence, and the album title was Mind the Self-Indulgence. And it was, I'll play a little bit, I'll dig it up later. Like, this one song especially, it was called Bed of Roses. It's just like, my life has never been a bed of roses. and he said later, he's like, and I was just trying to rip off Nine Inch Nails. It was really lame. So, but it was a lot less hilariously good-natured than my MSI.
Hey, it's all right. My life has never been a bed of roses. This way's better for me. Hey, it's all right. Has always been a sad emotion. Don't feel sorry for that feeling. Sorry's been my last emotion. Anyway.
So there was some MSI though. Good stuff. I like that band a lot. So you just went and dug up a mystery track. Is that what we're going to play now?
Well, it's not. It's probably the most well-known track on here, actually. I'm sure the trendy kids would all know there's my girlfriend's all into, like, she's divided between, like, the techno shit and the hippie shit. So there was a band that the kids seem to love these days called Justice, which is... a lot like Daft Punk, but a little different, and some, you know, like Daft Punk, a lot of their songs are really catchy, so this one's just called Dance, and it's D period A period, so I'm sure it's super clever and whatnot, but it's just a really good fun time, and I found that the best club in our hometown is the gay bar,
right.
Unfortunately, if you just want to go have a good time. So as long as you're there with a lady, it's awesome. You go, you have some drinks, do some dancing. So
anytime you get a look, you just squeeze a tit.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, this one belongs to me, faggot, and so on and so forth. So when this one comes on, it's nice to actually know the weird techno songs and, you know, construct your moves around said song. yeah, it's a good time. So, Justice, D-A-N-C-E.
We'll be right back.
Now I'd say my impression of that song, having never heard it before, in this kind of setting, just sitting here listening to it, or even just in your MP3 player or whatever, not immediately fantastic. I don't know, not incredibly pleasant to my ears. However, if I put myself in the mindset of being in a club and dancing like a stupid robot or something,
that's really where it becomes powerful.
Right.
Because, like, I remember her listening to it all the time just around the house, and I'd be like, really? Come on. But then, you know, you're drinking, you're out at the club, you're dancing it up, and then all of a sudden it comes on, and then next day when you're at the house, you're like, yes, I like this a lot. I want to dance the way I dance.
And as it, especially the way it's set up. It's got the ABC, 1, 2, 3, like, yeah, shit fucking going on. Yeah, and I'm a big fan of really silly, stupid dancing, so yeah. I can see it working in that capacity.
Yeah, it's just kind of fun, and that is the danciest song on the whole album. Some of them are more Daft Punky, just abstract electronic shit, but it's the one that makes me really wish I was in the gay bar dancing it up.
And really, you can't put a price on that.
Yeah, exactly.
So speaking of Daft Punk, let's do our Daft Punk retrospective sort of thing. I meant to do this ages ago back in Vancouver. I had it lined up and I just never bothered to. But we were just happened to be... well, let's bring that up first. We were at the Natural History Museum, and still one of the best parts of it was just sitting in the cafe, staring at the window, drinking a coffee, discussing the economics of the Saul Williams album or what have you. Yeah, it was nice. Oh, yeah, and I figured out the trick. If you don't want to feel like a total douche when you don't pay the suggested amount at a museum, just say what you would like to donate.
Yeah.
You know, I'd like to donate $5, because then you sound like you're helping. Whereas the first place we went, he's like, suggested donation $15. And I was like, how about $5? Yeah. Like, he doesn't care. He's not there to haggle, but it just made me seem like such a weird grifter. Like, I don't know. It's lame.
Just better to just get on top of that situation immediately.
And the people at the Met in front of us, the two chicks, they didn't donate shit. So, I mean, our $5 a piece, that was quite magnanimous, I would say. Well worth it. But, yeah, we were talking about Daft Punk for whatever reason, Stronger and stuff. And that reminded me of this little... I don't know, I was, like, looking up a lot of old, like, where hip-hop songs came from. Because it's just kind of interesting sometimes to hear the old song and be like, ah, that's where that sample was. So this is, what's this guy's name? Edwin Birdsong, I think. Can you bring up my little list? He did this old song, old funk tune from who the fuck knows what year. Edwin Birdsong, called Cola Bottle Baby. And it's weird because what I'm going to do is I'll, like, you know, later I'll put these together. What you people are going to hear is a mashup. It'll go through all three songs together. He did this song and it just has this weird little keyboard, you know, fucking organ thing that then Daft Punk swiped for Harder, Better, Faster, Stronger. And then Kanye West stole the, it's weird because Daft Punk took the best part of this guy's song to make their song. And then Kanye took the best part of the Daft Punk song to make his song. But the part, by the time you get all the way to Kanye West, it doesn't, I don't even know if it still has that original sample anymore, and if it does, it's very hard to tell. It's like it really is mutated into a whole new thing. I just find that interesting.
Evolution!
Exactly. So we're gonna hear all three of those songs in a delightful construct.
Metal?
Yes.
Cool!
Medley, it's a good word.
You can get it. like it, make it, do it, makes us. Harder, better, faster, stronger. More than power, power, never. Ever after work is over.
How long I've been on ya?
Quite a walk down musical history, huh?
Interesting stuff.
Indeed. So.
Well, now that we've, now that I've outed myself as, a willing patron of the gay bar.
Right.
I should probably go for something a little more rugged, so.
I know, though, that can be a, you can try, but we all know that many of them rugged folk turned out to be very gay themselves.
Yes. I think we all remember Hawk Rockin'.
I know I sure do. Jesus Christ.
But regardless, I think I'm going to go with a band that also just I kind of randomly stumbled upon when I was looking for decent black metal. And found this album released in 2006 called Now Diabolical. And it was by a band called Satyricon. And it was pretty cool. And probably my favorite song off the album is called A New Enemy.
So do you often just go with cool band names?
Well, I like the MySpace because they have 4 or 5 songs. And you just go through and you look at a band you like and you go to their friends. And you look at their friends. And if it's absolutely terrible for the first 2 songs, you move on to the next one. And it's an interesting little
That's not bad. That's not a bad
path.
Idea.
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking, like, yeah, like, there needs to be alternative ways, because the days of the music video have long been gone in the U.S., but in Canada, it's pretty much done, too.
Yeah, because I think with this one, originally what I did was I went to the Rotting Christ MySpace, and I looked at their friends, and they have, 20 other bands that are friends, and whenever you click their page, it plays a song, and I went through a bunch of them, and most of them were crappy, and this one, I just caught my ear, and I was like, I like that a lot. And then you go the extra step to actually download the album and listen to it. And if it works for you, it works for you.
Yeah, one thing I did the other day is I went on YouTube and just caught up on all the Gomez videos I haven't seen. I actually am way behind on that band in general, but it's just like they've been making videos for the past 4 or 5 years. But where would I ever see them?
Yeah.
So I haven't seen them. So it was weird. I just sat there for like 20 minutes and watched videos. And I was like, wow. Remember those days? And, yeah. Like, what was that show we always used to watch? The Wedge?
The Wedge, yeah.
It's just gone. Nothing.
Because who wants cable anymore? What's the point?
But even if you got it, I mean, I guess they still have Loud and stuff, so I mean. Yeah.
But I mean, I used to, like, the Wedge was on at, like, midnight on Friday nights, and...
And then they couldn't even give us that.
Yeah.
It's like, for Christ's sake. That's like, I'm going to play some Horror Pops later, but is that how you first heard the Horror Pops? Just caught the mistake video somewhere?
I don't know. I think it was, I was just following, I was waiting on a Necromantics album that had been delayed like 8 months or something, and I guess part of the reason for the delay was that Kim Neckerman was doing this side project with this girl he wanted to do, so.
Man, she is hot.
Yeah.
I saw them at the Warped Tour, and whew, she's wearing, like, this big frilly dress, and she's got these, like, tattoos on the back of her upper leg. Like, you can just like, glimpse them, and it's like, ah, so hot. Fuck, that chick's hot. Anyway, what was this song called again?
This is Satyricon, A New Enemy.
we're going to go to the store to get provisions, some of a liquid variety. So I'm going to play a song while I get my shit together, such as pants and shoes and a proper shirt. I'm virtually nude. This is, I just was inspired to go grab this song because of all the low-flying jets around here. It's a Heat Miser song called Low-Flying Jets. So let's listen to that. Fucking hot outside, my friend. So I was inspired by the heat wave outside to download the Who song, The Heat Wave. Ooh, just Heat Wave. However, it's not downloaded yet, so while we're waiting, why don't you play us a little ditty there, Matthew?
What do I got left here? I've been listening to a lot of Sonic Youth lately. And, not gonna lie, it's a battle. There's a lot of shitty songs out there, but there's a lot of really awesome songs.
I always meant to delve into Sonic Youth, but I never did.
Yeah.
I actually got this whole theory about bands that you can, one way potentially to judge a band and how cool they are is how hard it is to find their albums used. I never saw a Sonic Youth album used ever in my life until, like, last month. I saw just somebody selling shit on a table in Manhattan had one. I was like, holy shit. But because of that, like, how Backstreet Records and Fredericton never had Sonic Youth shit, and I bought everything used, I never had any Sonic Youth albums, hence I don't know any Sonic Youth. But yeah, it's one of those bands, like, either you don't sell them, or if you do sell them, someone else buys them right away.
Yeah, so I've been slowly working through them, and, this was probably, this is one of my favorite songs off of Rather Ripped.
I always, that's pretty recent, right? Because I remember when that came out, I liked that title a lot.
It's a good name. And, it's called Incinerate. And it's very, very awesome.
Sweet. So, yeah, this here song, Heat Wave, by The Who, it's unusual that I would even know this song. Because historically, I don't know old songs. That's one big thing I've noticed with, like, there's this guy Jason, who is involved in Keeping Girl Shit. Comes to visit New York once in a while, and we both have many a chat about music, but one of the big differences is that he actually knows shit before 1980, and I don't. You know, like, that first Devo album, that's pretty much the fucking divider for me. Which is, like, right when I was born, too. So it's like, just don't care about that. It's like anything that happened before I was on the earth, it's hard for me to give a shit about. That's probably not why, just coincidentally. But the reason I know this song is my dad always used to play stuff for me and my brother when we were little, like this song, Boris the Spider, is a famous Who song that he'd always be like, if you guys go to bed, I'll play you Boris the Spider. So we'd run upstairs and he'd like just crank it downstairs super loud so we could hear it. Then I remember I was in Montreal, like 2003, when I went to go see wrestling, and I heard Boris the Spider playing in some store, and I was like, oh shit, I forgot all about that song, and all these memories came back. So when I got home, I was like, hey dad, you remember fucking Boris the Spider? And he's just like, yeah, what about it? And I was like, oh, cherish childhood memory, you hardly remember, like, come on, wake up. So anyway, I went and downloaded that album, and this one song, Heat Wave, a little bit of a silly song, but I just kind of liked it. Something about it just kind of was enjoyable. And today it's very hot out, so yep. Made me think of Heat Wave. So here's Heat Wave by The Who. Sad to say, that song did not do much, if anything, to alleviate the heat wave, but it didn't add to the heat wave.
It's really more of a tease is all. It's like you're in a heat wave. Sucks to be you.
So one thing I picked up when we just went to the store is I was drinking the like hard lemonade, Smirnoff ice shit. It's way too sweet. And yet just your plain old beer, I often find a little bitter. So I was like, what could I get that's in the middle? So I got the original Twisted Tea, hard iced tea, 5% alcohol by volume, peach flavor. And it's like, don't call it hard. Will you stop that? It just you're not tricking me. I know I'm drinking fruity iced tea.
That's weird, though, because it's most of the ones in the States don't say the alcohol volume.
That's true. They are somewhat mysterious in general. But, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I'm not quite sure what my point is. It's pretty tasty, though. It's mostly like iced tea, but it's got booze in it. That's pretty nice. Oh, wow, this is one thing I wanted to bring up, is American cigarettes are somewhat hilarious. I mean, our cigarettes, I guess we're just used to it. It's probably shocking to Americans that Canadian cigarettes are so coated in warnings and labels and, like, you're gonna die. And even just basic things like ingredient lists, you know,
just
like
fine Turkish.
Yeah, this is just camel, and it's a nice camel in the front, and it looks just like that shit you'd buy as a kid that was like chocolate cigarettes or the cigarettes like,
yeah,
the
Popeye cigarettes.
Yeah, or the little bubblegum ones where you could blow them and the smoke would come out. Like, this looks like a toy. It's silly. And instead of it, you know, potentially excessive health labels that we have on ours, it just says Camel, a master-crafted blend of only the finest hand-picked Samsung and Izmir Turkish tobaccos. With a robust domestic tobacco blend, creates Camel's distinctive flavor and world-class smoothness. How were they?
They're all right. I like the Marlboro better.
Since 1913, did you ever just pretend you were in 1913?
I did, and that helps a bit, but not all the way. Mm. Can't fix it all.
And then on the side, little Surgeon General's warning. Low birth weight, you know, come on. So what you got for us now, Matt?
Well, I'm winding down in my selection, so I figure I should probably go with... I really am enjoying Iron and Wine of late.
Now, I heard of this band just around, and I thought they were... I don't know, there must be an old band, like from the 70s or something, with a similar name, because that's who I thought they were, but apparently I was totally wrong.
Yeah, but they're pretty folkish, pretty laid back, but they have a lot of religious connotations in there, and I like religious stuff. I like religious history. I absolutely despise religion, but at the same time I love the stories behind it, so they usually tend to throw a lot of that in there, so I find that interesting. And then on top of that, it's just nice, pleasant music.
Nice.
So I tend to go with that. So I've got a Love Song of the Buzzard off of The Shepherd's Dog, I think 2006 release.
Now, nice. Is the Love Song of the Buzzard an obscure Bible passage?
No, this one isn't. A lot of them are, though. So, you know, it's give and take.
Cool. Let's listen, shall we?
Okay.
In the failing light of the afternoon, Lucy in the shade of the dogwood blue, yesterday the solace of a boy. Kissing on the blood red lips. No one is the savior they would like to be. Love song of the buzzard in the dogwood tree. Horses laughing through the traffic light, and the cradle's unimaginative sense of time.
So, let's see here. I'm also running low on potential songs I was going to play. I'm having second thoughts about some of them. All right, so let's just go with the old horror pops. So, I guess like we were saying earlier, the real origin of the horror pops was the Necromantics. Now, was that just a random Backstreet Records find for you? How did that work?
No, I actually saw on The Wedge, I saw...
Gargoyles Over Copenhagen? Nice.
And I was like, that was fucking awesome. And then I went to Backstreet Records, and they had a different album that was earlier, but it was quite possibly their best album. And I was like, sweet, that's a pretty bitch, man.
That is, Necromantics are a fucking silly good band. Like, just retarded how many just super catchy songs they have.
Yeah. And, you know, from then on, it was just a good relationship in my life.
So, yeah, the main guy from the Necromantics is also in this band with his lady friend. And they're called the Horror Pops. I don't know if there's much else to say about that.
He's actually really good acoustic bass player.
Yeah?
Yeah, like a lot of people don't really, you know, they don't listen to enough psychobilly to understand the difference. It's just, you know, it's like metal. It just sounds like noise. But when you get right down to it, she really knows what she's doing on that thing.
Nice.
Which is pretty impressive.
See, they put out a third album just this year. I just was reading about them on Wikipedia. Apparently she was in another band before when she first met him. I don't know, remember what they're called, but yeah. I might look that up sometime. But yeah, they put out an album in 2008, and I just downloaded it yesterday. I only listened through it once, but I did find a song that I like. However, I'm also going to play a song that I like from their second album. So we're going to play two horror pop songs.
You gonna say what those songs are?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, fine.
See, no, that's an argument here. That's actually where two people are handy. I was just gonna... You should hear the ones I do by myself. I just sit there quietly for long stretches. I'm just like, all right, show. So from the second album, I'm gonna play Hit and Run, track number 2. And then from their new album is a song called Highway 55. And it's one of those things where, like, when you only hear an album one time, you know, it's hard to say what when the ground finishes shifting, you know, see how the lay of the land is. Maybe there's all kinds of songs on there that I like better than this song. But on the first listen through, I was like, yeah.
It's that one that catches you.
I like that little tune right there. So we'll play Hit and Run first, and then Highway 55.
Sorry.
more selection for us there, Matt?
I do. It's a very slow doom metal song that I like to listen to sometimes. It's very simple, just...
While contemplating doom?
Yeah, basically. Mm. And I don't know, it's called My Wine in Silence, which is kind of bitchy because you would think... You know, I'm sure he intended it to just sit and drink a glass of wine, but it is a pretty whiny song, so... I don't know, a little bit of a double meaning there that...
What band is this?
This is My Dying Bride. And they've been around for quite some time, but I've just recently fallen upon them. And again, a lot of garbage, but a few gems, and this one just hits me just right with the slow drone.
Nice. That's not a bad band name either. I kind of like that.
Yeah. That's all I got for that.
Good enough. Let's listen.
Okay.
My love, my soul.
right, Matt ran out of songs. He's going to go take a shower and shit. We're going to the roller derby tonight. Whatever that exactly is, I'm not sure. Girls in roller skates fuck each other up and such. So I'll play one more song before we get the fuck out of here. The new NERD album, Seeing Sounds, just leaked onto the internet. And I've always been a big fan of these guys, although they've always been moving further and further in the direction they are currently mired in. For instance, their first album, kind of, I don't know, there's a lot more all over the place, a lot more variety, different types of shit. I mean, like, you know, the old fucking lap dance and rock star, like, they don't do songs like that anymore at all. That's done. It was moving way more that way in their second album, way more just kind of like a groove fucking chill out songs for you, you know, I don't know, girlier, you might say. And this new album is even deeper down that road. But I'm sure when I give it some time, I'll probably, it'll probably grow on me. But again, like the Horror Pops, I only just got it yesterday, only listened to it once. Nothing jumped right out at me enough for me to play. So I'm going to go way back to their first album and play the last song, Stay Together. This song is so good, man. So good. I mean, it's almost like, you can almost compare it to like an NSYNC song, kind of. It's just all, I don't know. Or I could see NSYNC doing this song. It's probably not a nice thing to say. I'm not even quite sure why I say that. I don't know. I feel like this hard iced tea is starting to get to my brain. So why don't I just stop talking and I'll just play this song. NERD, Stay Together. From In Search Of. Aces One Zillion. I love this song.
Hey, we need to stay together, girl. Think about it. There was something about me and you, girl. Look at here.
When God created human beings, bet he didn't think of bombs and things. I bet he wonders why. Just like I never imagined it would be anything between you and me. I know, cause I cry, I cry.
You were my sun rays. Without you, girl, there was no days. Never dreamt to speak the phrase. Now what the fuck just happened? You were the heart I own. The beat just like a metronome. Can't breathe, my heart is gone. Now what the fuck just happened? What just happened, girl?
I was always the one behind. Yeah. You run up and keep me alive. Looked up to you, damn, this hurts. All these years of discipline, just to end up here at the end. Can you tell me what I've learned?
Just happened.
the metronome. Can't breathe, my heart is blown. Now what the fuck just happened? I'm just crazy about you. What's wrong with that? Huh?